thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
The 91st Psalm this morning, and interesting, Wesley sharing the 46th Psalm where it talks about God being our help in trouble. This psalm unpacks some of that trouble and that help, and we're going to read it together. And my title for this morning's message is simply this: Abide in the Shadow of God. And we're going to read the whole psalm, and I make no apology for that. There's lots in here that is a blessing to us. So we're going to begin at the very beginning. Psalm 91, verse 1. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you, and no plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." The Lord will add a blessing to his word, but let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come this morning and we simply say, Lord, open our hearts. Open our hearts to what you would have to say to us this morning. Lord, I pray for me that anything of me would fall away, and all that would remain is your heart for your people this morning. Lord, come and move in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this psalm for me has been a psalm that has kept coming up in things that I've been reading, in my devotion times. And as it kept coming up, I said, okay, God, you're saying something to me. You're showing me something. What is it you want me to see? And part of what happened was I was in the early stages of Allura being with us, particularly at night. Faith got very tired, so she went to bed, and I kept Allura with me downstairs. And often I would end up lying on the floor or on the sofa, and Allura just lying on my chest. And in those moments, eventually she just drifted off to sleep. And she looked so content and so peaceful and so precious, and I love it when she falls asleep just like that. But what I realized is that she's doing that. She's happy to sleep lying on my chest because she feels safe, because she knows that her needs have been met, that she's been taken care of, and she trusts the steady heartbeat that she's used to hearing. God began to show me how, that's a picture of how we should come to him. Able to rest in him. To trust the steadiness of his heart for us. To come to him, able to trust him no matter what. My first point this morning is simply that we need to abide in Almighty God. Psalm 91:1, it begins, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High," and we'll come back to that in a moment, "will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." You see, the goal for us as the children of God is to abide in God's mighty shadow. To abide in the shadow of Almighty God. But the question is, what does that mean? How do we do that? What's that look like for us? Particularly when we have these two sentences, or this sentence, you dwell in his shelter and then you abide in his shadow. And how does that go together? Because it seems very similar, doesn't it? But they're saying two very specific things. And I want to start with abide in the shadow of Almighty God. And to understand it, we need to understand what this word abide means. And in the Hebrew, it's the word lun. L-U-W-N is how we would write it in English. And it's a word that means to remain, but it comes with a great sense of trust. Remain where you can let your guard down. Remain where there is rest. Remain in that place where, actually, in the midst of all the things going around and the turmoil and everything else going on outside, there's a moment, there's a place where you can just be still. And when I think of Alora and all the things that can go on around her, in this place, doesn't matter what else has happened out there. Doesn't matter how loud it is. Doesn't matter what else is going on. Here, she can simply pause for a moment and rest and trust that, hey, everything will be okay. Then there's this word shadow. And your initial thinking would be, okay, so we have to remain behind, we have to remain in the shadow of God, but that's not what's being said. It's a reference to the shadow of his wing or the shade of his roof. You know, Psalm 17:8 says, keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings. And Isaiah 25, verse 4 says, for you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. And this idea of the shadow is this place under the Lord's roof, under his wing, whatever the analogy is, whatever the imagery is, it's this idea of a place of refuge and protection. If you think of the chicken bringing the little ones under her wing, everything else can go chaos around there, but in here, it's safe. When I bring Alora to my chest, it doesn't matter what else is going on. Here is safe for her. And we need to learn what it is to abide, to be in that place where we can trust in God no matter what is going on around us. The problem we have is that the trusting bit's hard. That abiding and just simply being there is hard when things are difficult. It's hard when we feel under attack. It's hard when our prayers don't seem to be being met. And we're crying out and we're saying, God, you say I can trust you, but right now I'm struggling because of all of this going on in my life. But the truth still is the same. We need to abide in that place where there's refuge, where there's protection, that we can trust him at all times. But what I love about God's word is often when he tells us, hey, this is how you should live, this is what you should do, he tells us the practical steps of how to get there. So yeah, we need to learn what it is to abide in this trust in place with God where it doesn't matter what happens this afternoon, it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow, that hey, we can stand firm and say, God, you're in control. You've got me. And what we see in this first verse of Psalm 91 is, hey, you need to abide in me and I'm going to tell you how to get there. So look again at Psalm 91, verse 1, because what we're told is how to abide in his shadow. And it's simply this, by making him your dwelling place. Psalm 91, 1 begins, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide. So the one that's dwelling in the shelter of God will learn to abide, will learn to trust that place of refuge in God, no matter what's going on. But it starts when we dwell in his shelter. So how's that different? What's that look like? Well, the word for dwell here is yashab. And it means to sit down or to settle down and remain there. And that's exactly what Alora does when I pick her up and she's crying or she's a bit distressed. And I pick her up and I set her on my chest. She just stays there till she settles. She stays there until she calms down. She stays there until she realizes, hey, whatever was distressing me, whatever was upsetting me, I don't need to worry about that right now. I'm with my Father, and I know he's got me. Simply because she settled there and remained there. And that's what we are being called to do, to just settle down in that place, that shelter. So what is that shelter? Well, the word for shelter is, in the Hebrew, is sather. And it means the secret place. So in order to abide, in order to get to that place where no matter what's going on out around us in our lives, we can trust in God, we first have to dwell, first have to settle in that secret place. We need to learn to settle in the secret place. The New King James Version of Psalm 91 verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Lord shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, we need to come to God and sit down, settle down in the secret place with him. Now, the problem again we have here is that we're often too pushed for time because our lives are busy. Things are busy. So when it comes to getting into that secret place with God, it's more of a tick box sometimes. I'll say my prayer, I'll read a verse, and then out the door, because the kid's got to get to school, I've got to get to work, I've got messages to do, I've this place to go to, that place to go to. Or even worse, we don't even get that, it's simply in the car. So the morning's just been so busy. You know what? I'll get the car, I'll get on my own, and sure, on my way to work, on the way down the road, then I can have some alone time with God. But we never give him our full attention in that place because our mind is tuned to the road around us, to what we're walking into next. We need to learn to settle down and just simply be still. Jesus tells us just that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. He says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. See, he tells us, get alone, settle down, close the door, get rid of the distractions. Leave the phone outside, turn the smartwatch off, do all the things to get rid of the distractions and be in that place alone with God. Because when we learn to settle down in that place, when we learn what it is to spend time every single day in his presence, see when the trouble comes, see when the difficulty comes, then it's easier to say, hey, I will abide in you even though I don't understand right now. But it's hard to get there if we don't dwell. It's hard to trust fully when we're not spending time with him. That's why the psalmist says, settle down in his presence, in that secret place with no distractions, and just be with God. Open your Bible, read from his word, and then don't just close it, but say, hey, okay, God, this is the passage I've read this morning. This is the verse I've read this morning. What is it you're saying to me? What is it you're trying to teach me this morning? What is it that you want me to take from what your word says, and how do I apply it in my life? And begin to ask God to speak through his word, not just read it, close it, tick the box and go. See, we need to learn to settle in his presence. We're so used to instant life, so used to things happening quickly, so used to being so busy that we don't learn just to stop and settle in his presence. The beauty is that when we do, when we learn what it is to say, hey, family, I am going into my room and I'm closing the door. Do not disturb me. Whether it be 10 minutes or 20 minutes or half an hour, whatever it is, and you close that door and you say to your family, hey, I need time with God right now. You get the phone off. Get the TV off and you just say, hey, God, I want to sit here. I'm not going anywhere till you move, till you show up, till you speak to me. You read his word. Pray. Worship. Just dwell in his presence for a little while. And what happens is, as you do that daily, as you pour out the things that are on your heart, the things that you're going through, the things that you have to rejoice about, the abiding trust grows and flourishes. And then when the icebergs come, they don't seem so bad because it's easier to say, hey, I don't get it. I don't understand it. This is not what I've been praying for. But I know you, God. I know what it is to sit with you, and I know that your word says you've got good for me, that I can trust you, I can depend on you. And what we get is the same cry as the psalmist if you look at verse 2. See, in the psalmist's response to learning what it is to dwell in the secret place with God, learning what it is to therefore abide in those difficult times, he says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. That's the cry that our hearts should have when we have learned what it is to dwell in his presence. It doesn't matter what happens, that we can say, hey, I don't understand it, but my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, I can trust him in this too. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, but I'm in that place right now. I'm in that valley. I'm in that difficulty. And you know what? Maybe if I'm honest, I haven't spent enough time in that secret place and I'm struggling to trust. I'm struggling to work out how, God, this is going to work out. I'm struggling to accept that this is how things are going to be, because that's not what I've been seeking. It's not what I thought you had for me, God. And I don't understand. And you wrestle with these questions. I want to encourage you. It's not too late. The place of getting to trust, even in the midst of that valley, is to start dwelling. So when things are at their worst, and you're saying, hey, I don't trust right now because I'm struggling with this, the answer is the same. Get into that secret place, close the door, and say, God, I'm wrestling, I'm struggling. I don't know what to do right now. I need you to speak to me. I need you to move. I need you to help me know what it is to abide. Sometimes Elora will cry from her crib or her pram because she's got upset and things have startled her, or something has happened, or she needs change, or she needs fed, and she's going, hey, this is awful. But if I didn't go and pick her up, nothing would change. Thankfully, we're not quite as helpless as little Elora is right now. We can make that choice to say, hey, I'm crying. There's something wrong. So I'm going to dwell in your secret place, Lord. And it's like me picking her up and saying, hey, it's okay. I've got you. I've got this. Just trust me. It's what we see Jesus doing. Mark 1 and 35, we're told that he rose very early in the morning. While it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Jesus took time to get into that secret place. And we need to take time to get into that secret place. Some of you are maybe saying, but I'm not a morning person. I can't do very early. That's okay. Do the other thing that Jesus did, which was very late. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 39. It's the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples. And he says to them, look, hey, sit here while I go over there and pray. And then he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And then he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. See, he needed to dwell in the midst of the storm that was raging. At this point, it's about midnight. So if early doesn't work, go late. The point is, go and dwell. And the outcome is that we abide in him. The very last line of verse 39 says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That's what it is to abide and trust. That even when we don't understand, even when we don't think, hey, this is the way it should be done, that we can say, Lord, I know you've got this. So I'm going to trust you. We need to learn to abide. But we cannot do that if we don't dwell in that secret place. The final thing I want to share, and hopefully this will not take too much longer, is that in Scripture I love how not only does God tell us, hey, this is what you need to do, this is the goal for how to live following me, and this is how to do it. He gives us the why. Why should you bother? Why should you do it? Why should you trust? And Psalm 91, it gives us this whole passage. All of these things, how the psalmist says, hey, this is who I'm trusting in. I'm trusting in one who will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence, who will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Why? Because you've made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. And no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent, and you will trample underfoot. In other words, see, no matter what you're facing, no matter what the enemy will be, no matter what the trouble is, hey, God has a plan for you. He's chosen you. He's chosen to send his angels to be your guard. He's chosen to say, hey, there's a protection over you. And all these promises are summed up in the last three verses, and it's those I want to just pick very quickly. Firstly, we see that the Lord promises to deliver. Psalm 91, verse 14. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. See, that's the promise for us this morning. That's the promise. That's why we can trust him, because no matter what we're facing, he promises that he will deliver us from that trouble. All we have to do is say, hey, Lord, I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to love you. Secondly, we're told he promises to protect you. Verse 14 continues, I will protect him because he knows my name. That's a protection from the enemies. It's a protection as we dwell in his presence, as we abide and trust in him, that he will be our refuge. Ephesians 6:16 says, in all circumstances, take up that shield of faith, that shield where we're trusting in God, and with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. See, there's a protection when we're dwelling and abiding in God. Thirdly, he promises to answer you. Verse 15 says, when he calls to me, I will answer him. That is the privilege of us as the children of God. When we cry out, he hears us and he answers us. Just as Jesus cried from the garden, and the Lord heard and answered. Therefore, we too can trust that when we cry out, God hears and answers our prayers. Jesus tells us in John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may glorify it in the Son. What other reason to trust in God that when we come to him and cry out and say, Lord, we need you to move, he says, I will answer. Verse 15 continues, I will be with him in trouble. You see, God promises to be with you this morning. You know, one of our biggest fears as humans is being alone, being forgotten, being abandoned. Yet God promises, hey, I will be with you even when it's difficult. Even when I'm not delivering you out of it or rescuing you from it, I'll be with you through it. That's the promise that he gives you this morning. That's why you can trust him and abide in him no matter what's going on. Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. That's the promise we have. Just two to go. Number five. He promises to rescue and honor you. That's what he says in verse 15. I will rescue him and honor him. Now rescue, that's not quite the same as deliver. You see, the deliverance was from an enemy, from an attack, where this rescue is from a pit. It's from an emotional turmoil, a stress, and that overwhelming feeling where we think, I cannot get up, I cannot go on, I am so overburdened and weighed down. He says, no, I'll rescue from that too. Jesus, Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that honor, when he picks us from the pit, that's what he does. He places us in that place of honor where he says, hey, no, you're not worthless. You're not too little. You're not the least. No. You're the greatest. Don't let somebody keep you down, because God says, hey, I've come to rescue you from that overwhelming struggle you're going through. And I have a place of honor for you. And finally, we read in verse 16, it says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. See, we have a promise of satisfying life. And that is salvation. See, when I first read this, I thought, okay, so God promises us a long life, many days. But actually, that's not what he's being said here. The psalmist, he's not talking about length, but quality. He's saying, hey, with long life, I will satisfy him. The wording's back to front in English. It's the days you have, whatever the length, whether it be long, whether it be many or few, they will be satisfactory to you. Why? Because I'll show him my salvation. You see, when we have our trust in Christ, even when death comes here, it's only the beginning of our long life with him in paradise. This is the starter, the first page, that preface that says, hey, this is what's ahead. So even then, when we say, hey, but my prayer wasn't answered. Hey, I don't understand this morning. God says, hey, the promise is that there is life that is satisfying and long, and it is found in salvation. I wonder this morning, can you say, hey, I abide in my God. I trust him no matter what. If you do, keep dwelling in his presence. And if you're struggling with it this morning, make some extra time and start today. Get alone in that secret place and say, God, I need you right now. Why? Because he's so faithful to all his promises. You can trust him. Just get alone with him. And the reward is that he will answer and be there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your faithful word. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you, Lord, that even in the hard days, when things are difficult, Lord, when we're going through things that we don't understand, Lord, we can claim the promises of your word, how you'll be with us, how you'll help us, deliver us, and keep us. But Lord, it's hard sometimes. We wrestle with questions. We wrestle with doubt. Lord, help us to get alone in that secret place with you and build in us in a place of abiding trust that nothing can shake. Lord, fill us with your spirit this morning. And Lord, we don't always understand, but we know that your promises are now and to come. And Lord, even if they don't get answered the way we think they should in this moment, we will stand before you in glory and all things will be made true. All things will be made perfect in you as we worship you for endless days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.